We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A lot to talk about this week at the big football game on Friday night. We'll hear from head coach Justin Wilcox and quarterback Chase Garbers. And in the final segment, this is also the weekend of the Safeway Open up in Napa at the Silverado Golf Resort and Spa. And we got a special guest, Colin Morikawa, who will join us. A guy graduated in May, and since then he's been on the tour. He's 9 for 9, 9 tournaments, 9 main cuts, and about $1.8 million in earnings. So we'll get his thoughts about what that summer has been like. He played in the U.S. Open as well. Just one of the great student athletes that we've had here in Cal. A perfect example of what this university and the athletic department is all about. But we're going to start with football. Big game against Arizona State on Friday. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with the tailgate show. But first, let's clean up a little bit of the Ole Miss game. Everything you said that you had to do as far as preparing for the heat, preparing for the travel, the extra day of travel, all of that stuff, the game plan in that regard went as you scripted it.
Yeah, I think the guys did a really nice job of handling the trip. And, they prepared their mind and body the right way. And didn't mean we played perfect, but really proud of the way they competed and found a way to win.
Set the tone on the first drive. Chase Garbers and company down the field to score a touchdown. And I mean, just getting that first one out of the way, I think it's might be the first time you've led in the first quarter. Certainly, I think it's the first touchdown that you scored in the first quarter off on the first drive of the ballgame. I guess I should say you led 20-0 against North Texas, but it was good to get off to a good start. It just feeds confidence and momentum.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think they came out firing. They did a great job, especially in the pass game. Chase had his best game by far, and the receivers made some really nice contested catches. So it was great to see those guys operate, played very decisive and confident, and competed really well.
You know, some guys that got in the ball game that hadn't played a lot, and one of the guys at the offensive side of the ball that played really well, a couple of big catches and a huge touchdown, Jake Tongis, who came in, and I would assume when the season started, maybe fall camp, he might have been a third or fourth guy on that depth chart, yet next man up mentality, and he had a huge game.
Yeah, really a tribute to him and how he's worked. He came here as a walk-on. He's from Los Gatos and wasn't the biggest guy when he got here, but he's worked really hard. He can catch the ball, and he's really worked at the line of scrimmage and being more physical. And, you know, it was great to see him make those plays. And he's made a couple nice catches, but huge play in the game with the 60-yard touchdown and a really nice throw by Chase, but a really heck of a play by Jake.
And was managed to weave his way into the end zone, kind of looking over his shoulder. That's the don't look over your shoulder. Somebody's going to be gaining on you. And they eventually did catch him, but he got to the end zone first with a football. So that's all that we really wanted to see. You mentioned Chase, and we're going to have him on in the next segment. He just seemed to be more assertive throwing the football, whether it was the reads or just getting it out of his hands. For the most part, I thought the protection was pretty good too. So that helps a quarterback. But what were your thoughts watching him on the sideline?
Same as you, you know, very decisive. He played confident. That's the Chase that we've seen in practice. You know, he's delivering the ball on time with authority. And, you know, not every throw is perfect, but he was on point, you know, most of the day. He probably had a couple he'd like to have back, but I thought he did a heck of a job with that. And really nice job by the O-line against some big guys that they had in there. And I thought the other thing that showed up was Chase, you know, hanging in when he had to and also getting out of a couple potential sacks and getting rid of the ball or getting some positive yards. And so really all in all, just a nice day by him and one that he can build on.
Had a really nice day and a trip back home for Jordan Duncan as well. A couple of big catches. I mean, that was an NFL play that we see so much, that back shoulder throw in the corner of the end zone, was able to get the feet in by the timing was perfect.
Yeah, he made two of them. I mean, the touchdown was a great play to get his feet in. And then the other one, he had a fade on their sidelines where he went up, attacked the ball, got 1 foot in, and two great plays by Jordan. And really special to be able to do it in front of a bunch of friends and family.
He was very emotional after the game when we talked to him on the air. Defensively, you got to defend Rich Rod's offense. And they had some success, but you were able, certainly for most of the ball game, to kind of, you know, keep them from putting the ball in the end zone. I want to say that Ole Miss ended up with 9 possessions in the game that ended up in Cal territory, but they only had 20 points. So you had a former coach, Mike Bellotti, said it's not about yards, it's not about time of possession, it's all about points, and this was certainly a case in point.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the first quarter and the fourth quarter, we did not play very well on defense, not the way we're capable of playing. Had some good individual plays, but as a group, you know, not our best football. Second and third quarters, I thought, played really pretty well. And Rich Rod's got a really good offense. They're going to run a lot of plays, so they're going to have more and more opportunities to get yards and make plays down the field. And they have some dang good players. I mean, the quarterback's very active and tough to tackle. He's got a really good arm. They got some skill at receiver, and then the back kind of slash player they have is a really dynamic guy. So we didn't play our best football on defense. We made, you know, the guys competed really hard and found a way to win it in the end. But there's a bunch of plays in there that we are capable of making that probably changes the fourth quarter of that game.
Let's go to the final sequence there. Ole Miss gets a big play down inside the 10-yard line. They don't have any timeouts available, so you know that. But on third down, they throw a pass near the goal line, and it was pretty obvious that the receiver, at least his feet, were in the end zone, and the officials ruled the ball never crossed the plane. And that's what I thought when it happened. But the clock is tick, 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 tick. And so not only do they have to figure out what play they're going to run, but your defense has to adjust as well. Take me through that fourth down play.
Well, they had the third down, and we're just watching the official, and the official marks it. And so the clock's going to continue to run. So we are signaling in our last call, which was just a zero blitz. We'd actually run about 4 times in a row right there. And everybody, I mean, at that point, both sides of the ball, I mean, there's exhaustion going on, you know, and somebody's got to have to bow up and make a play. And those are the moments that you train for. And the guys did a nice job. The D-line kind of got low, got their pads down, and then Weave came in as the guy was trying to sneak it and pull them back to keep them out of the end zone.
The other part of that, and it fortunately ended up being okay, but Ashton Davis then comes in late too, and he's kind of slapping at the ball, and I'm thinking, you don't really want the ball to be loose because it might bounce in the end zone. Right. But nevertheless, he was able to corral it and hold on to the victory.
Yeah, you know, again, just Ashton's been a ball-aware guy this season, and you know, trying to do anything he can to not let them get in, which I totally get. And he ended up taking the ball But I think they had already ruled it down. So in the end, it was great. The guys competed. I mean, they were, they were tired and they were worn out right there. I think that was the 89th snap, something like that. And I think Brandon Smith, who went in and played nickel, was out there puking on the field because he was so exhausted. But really shows, the way the guys compete. They never stopped. They never quit. And when we came back on Sunday, we showed them a bunch of plays where if we would have handled the fourth quarter a little bit better and offense or defense, then we would have never put ourselves in that position. But those are the things you learn from, and it's fortunate to win and learn those lessons after a victory.
It's interesting because I just finished watching Herm Edwards's, who's the coach at Arizona State's, press conference for this week, and he was talking about closing out games. And you can have an experienced bunch of guys, but you have to learn how to do that as a team. And every coach would love to say, you know what, we're going to get the ball at the end of the game. We're going to just run the ball 15 straight plays and take 6 minutes off the clock. Very seldom does it work that way. Sometimes your defense has to finish the game. Sometimes your offense has to finish the game. So tell us about that process and how difficult it is for a team to learn how to do that.
Yeah, it's a mentality. And, everybody's trying to do the right things, and our guys are no different. I mean, they're working like crazy to do the right things, but the mentality of finishing, and we can go back even towards the end of the third quarter where we had a kind of a poor punt that allowed them to flip the field on us. And, there's that play. Then offensively, we had chances on a second short, third and short to get a first down. It keeps the clock rolling. And defense, we had a fourth and nine, or we had a third and 10, almost interception that Ashton can make. And then a fourth and 10 where we had two really good players who didn't quite get the guy on the ground, and they keeps their drive alive. So those are the plays, that really can put the dagger in them. And those are the ones that we got to learn to make. And I know our guys, are aware enough and they understand it and want to learn from it. But in the end, they competed and found a way to win. But it's, taking the next step, which we'll need to do, is making those other plays.
Yeah, no question about it. It'll be a game like that this week against an Arizona State team that suffered its first loss of the year. A home loss to Colorado, really interesting ball game. And that brings me to my trivia question for the week, because it does tie in here. Who has the record, the Cal record, for interceptions in a game? Okay. We go back to 1972, and it is Herm Edwards. Yeah. Herm spent a year here at Cal, said it changed his life. And he has the record, and he said he was going to go up to Cam Bynum before the game and said, "Hey, I hope someday you get my record. The record's 4. Okay. I hope you get my record. I just don't want it to be tonight," which would be the game on Friday. But Herm Edwards, an interesting guy, obviously has done a really good job, I think, with that program. Last year, they probably surprised people with what they did, and they've kind of flipped the script. Last year, it looks like they were offensive oriented with an experienced quarterback. They had the great wide receiver, Kadeem Harry, who was drafted by the Patriots. Now they've got a freshman quarterback, Jaden Daniels, and you can see him kind of growing game by game. But this year, their defense has kind of carried them so far.
Yeah, I think I got a ton of respect for Coach Edwards, and I've got to know him over the last couple of years. Really a neat guy. They'll be ready to play. We know that. And you see their offensive growth, and you saw it last week. I mean, they got skill. They got an excellent running back, a big, big-time running back. Jaden Daniels is going to be a fantastic player. He throws the ball really well. They got skill on the perimeter, big up front. So, we know what kind of weapons they have on offense. And defense, they've only given up about 13 or 14 a game here, I think, this year. And they got a lot of guys on their staff. Coach Edwards is a defensive guy, and they're playing really well. They pressure the quarterback. They're aggressive in the secondary. They got Merlin Robertson's making a ton of tackles for them. So it'll be a really good test for our team. And we know what kind of squad they have coming in here, and it'll, our guys are going to be excited Friday night, Pac-12 game. And it'll be a great environment.
Yeah. When you play Friday night on national television, you pretty much got the whole country watching you. So that's exciting. You don't have to split time on a Saturday with a bunch of other games. So a lot of eyeballs on this one. Your team moved up in the rankings this week to 15th, which is obviously awesome. Rob Likens is their offensive coordinator, so he's got a little bit of that spread to him. And then defensively, Antonio Pierce is on that staff. They also have Marvin Lewis, who the ex-Bengals coach. So are they doing more college stuff, or has there been a pro influence with both Herm Edwards and also Coach Lewis.
Yeah, you do see some of that. That was noticeable, just the, some of the Tampa 2 things that they're doing, kind of that tree, which, you know, Marvin Lewis has been in, and Antonio, I'm sure, played in some of that with, and Coach Edwards has coached it. So you see some of that. There's some nuanced things that are a little bit different than some of the other teams. But, you know, it goes back to fundamental football. I think anybody would tell you that, you know, playing the run, rushing the quarterback, you know, playing the ball when it's in the air, tackling, all those things are going to be critical in the game.
Ought to be a great atmosphere at Memorial Stadium Friday night. Hope everybody comes out and enjoys the atmosphere. It's a 7:30 game, so you got a little bit of time to get home from work and fight the rush hour traffic. So it should be a lot of fun. Coach, we appreciate you taking the time, and we'll talk to you a little bit later on the week prior to the ball game.
Thanks. Go Bears.
A reminder, Cal fans, that the Saturday or Friday night, I should say, is East Bay night. So when the Sun Devils come to town, you can purchase your tickets through cowbears.com/theme, and you'll receive a free East Bay Celebration t-shirt with each ticket purchased. T-shirts can be picked up at Tailgate Town on Maxwell Field, which opens 3 hours prior to kickoff. Again, that's cowbears.com/theme. Of course, we always have the pregame concerts there at Maxwell Field as well. So enjoy.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Joining me now is sophomore quarterback Chase Garbers, victorious. Probably played the best game of his Cal career at Ole Miss. Let's start with that, Chase. 23 out of 35. A Cal career high, 4 touchdowns, over 350 yards. What was working for you that day? What was the vibe going?
We just came out firing on all cylinders with that first drive, and, you know, we were executing all over. The linemen were playing great. You know, receivers were getting open, catching contested balls, and, you know, our running backs were protecting and running the ball hard, so we just executed all around.
When you score a touchdown on the first drive, I mean, what kind of confidence and mojo does that give you?
It brings a lot of confidence to the offense and a lot of swag. Could definitely see our wideout group was, you know, feeling the swag a little bit after that first score. So, I mean, it just brings confidence and, you know, kind of tells us how the rest of the game's going to go.
You know, when you get catches like Keikoa had, a couple of nice catches. Of course, Jordan Duncan had two phenomenal catches. Nico Ramillo, that great comeback out in the middle of the field. And then you got Jake on the tight end touchdown pass as well. I wasn't sure that he was going to make it all the way, but he managed to weave his way into the end zone. So, I mean, people forget that the guys have to catch the ball, but you were on target most of the day. That was the key.
Yeah, we were pretty accurate all around. Pretty good day, you know, completion-wise. And, you know, the wideouts, the tight ends, everybody just caught the ball and did the rest.
The last Cal quarterback with 4 touchdowns in a game was Ross Bowers in the season opener back in 2017 at North Carolina. He was also the last Cal quarterback to throw for over 350 yards in a game that same year at Colorado, unfortunately, in a losing effort over there. Oftentimes, quarterbacks throw for a lot of yards in games where you don't win. You have to throw the football. In this game, yeah, the running game wasn't there, but you never got the feeling like you had to throw it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, there was never a feel, and, you know, with Coach Baldwin and myself, where we had to go throw the ball to, you know, to win the game. I think they were giving us tough looks up front, and, you know, our running backs did a great job getting what they could. And in the pass game, we just executed.
Let's talk about just going back to SEC country. I mean, there's all this ballyhoo, the SEC. And, hey, let's face it, it's a good conference. Yeah. I mean, with Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. But, I mean, there's always this talk, and now you guys have won 2 in a row against the SEC, home and away. I mean, you got a little bragging rights.
Yeah, I think it just shows what kind of team we are. You know, the cultures that Wilcox created here and the players that we have. I mean, we're not going to go down without a fight. And, you know, 2-0 against the SEC, I think shows a lot for who we are as a team.
The other thing was very noticeable in that game was the Cal contingent of fans. Kind of at opposite ends in the corners, but there were several thousand fans, and they made some noise. I mean, you could hear those people during the game.
Yeah, I was completely shocked with how many people, you know, how many Cal fans were out there. And, you know, they got the Go Bears chant going. You could hear it on the field. So it was great to see, you know, those people traveling with us all the way down to Mississippi. And it was great to have them there.
Your folks go?
Yes. Both my parents went, and since my dad's from Georgia, his side of the family was there too.
Now, your parents traveled to almost every game. My understanding is they were even able to rent a box in Seattle, and you played the Huskies as well. I mean, to have that kind of parental support has to be, I mean, just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely awesome to have parents like that, you know, coming out and, you know, coming to every game, even when I was redshirting. So I think it's awesome. I think it's pretty crucial as a young quarterback to have that type of support.
All right, we talked before the game at Washington that the bragging rights were on the line. Your brother has a verbal commitment to attend Washington. Have you two discussed that game in the last couple of weeks? Or is it a one-way conversation?
It's a one-way conversation for sure. I don't think he wants to talk about it too much, but you know, I'm going to let him know until the next time we play Washington.
And you should, justifiably so. You guys have won two straight over the Huskies. Back into conference play from here on out. So I know the non-conference games are important, but the Bears are the only undefeated team in the league right now. After 4 weeks, I know you'd like to keep it that way this week against Arizona State. Playing on a Friday night. I mean, in high school, it was always Friday night lights, so to speak. Now we're going to have a Friday night in Berkeley. That'd be pretty crazy. Is the team excited about that?
We're always excited to be back home in Memorial. And I think Friday night, you know, we're going to get a lot of fans pack Memorial, and it's going to be a great one.
What are you going to do on Saturday? You have a day off.
Honestly, I don't know. You don't really have too many of those in college football, so we'll see.
Are you a guy that likes to watch the other games in the league or around the country?
Yeah, I'll watch college football and kind of guys that I know, so just keep a track of them.
Yeah. As you look at Arizona State, this is a team that so far defensively has been really stout. Colorado did get 34 points, but in the first three games they gave up 7, 7, and 7. What has made them so good defensively?
They got great players, young, talented players. You know, they got two linebackers, Darian Beller and Merlin Robinson, who were all Pac-12 freshmen, I believe, last year. And they got great coaches with Herm Edwards and a lot of NFL talent on that coaching staff. So they're well coached and mixed with good players.
One thing, as I've watched them this year, even last year, they're a little bit like Washington State, it appears, that they like to jump around a lot, maybe try to confuse the offensive line or the quarterback. How do you try to neutralize that?
Just sticking with our game plan, Coach Wood and Coach Baldwin, you know, for the offensive line at least, have put in some great schemes, you know, to defeat that. So just sticking with the game plan and just trust our rules.
I mean, do you try to vary the snap count as well, because maybe get them to show what they're doing? Or the other thing you can do is go on quick snaps before they make their adjustments.
Yeah, you know, cadence adjustment, quick count, you know, dummy counts, all that, you know. We're going to use it all.
Listening to Herm Edwards this week, one of the things he was raving about was your speed, how fast you were, and you've made a lot of plays with your legs. You say that with like an inquisitive look on your face. Have you ever been timed in the 40? And if so, what is it?
I've not been timed since I've been in college, but I was timed my senior year of high school, and it was a low 4.7. But I think I'm faster than that now.
Probably with strength and conditioning, I would think so.
Yeah.
When in your mind do you have a clock in the head that says time to go?
Yeah, I mean, as a quarterback, you always have that internal clock. You know, you can't be sitting in the pocket too long because, you know, there's always going to be somebody coming. So just, you know, being a quarterback for as long as I have and being in the system and, you know, being coached well by Coach Baldwin, Coach Tui, I think just using that internal clock is a good way to know.
I thought last week against Ole Miss, though, that the clock was spot on. I mean, you kind of knew when to run. But you were, I thought, very assertive throwing the football last week. Was it a mindset? Was it something they had talked about? Because you just looked like when you made your mind, it was right then and away it went.
Yeah, I was struggling the first couple weeks in the start of the season. But I think, you know, after North Texas, taking a good look at the film and just coming out with that certain mindset that I'm going to be confident throwing the ball and deliver it, you know, with an aggression. And that kind of showed on Saturday.
It did. You had a great game, as we mentioned, 23 out of 35, 4 touchdowns, 357 yards throwing the football. Hopefully you continue that kind of those kind of numbers. Hopefully the running game gets going this week against Arizona State. Have a good week of practice, and we look forward to the game on Friday night.
Thank you.
All right, Chase Garbers, starting sophomore quarterback for the Bears, who, by the way, is 10-4 as a starter. That's a pretty good record. Well, joining me now is a young man who has certainly made All-Cal fans really proud over the course of the last, actually, 4.5 years. Let's talk about your college career, but certainly the last couple of months on the PGA Tour. Colin Morikawa, who graduated from Cal in May and then went right out onto the PGA Tour. First, the tournament event was actually in Canada, and then has done extremely well, won a tournament over in Lake Tahoe. So he is here at the Silverado Resort for this week's tournament, the Safeway Open. So it's a homecoming for you, Colin. You've played here before many times, I'm sure. What's it like for you coming back?
Feels good. You know, it kind of feels like a sense of home. You know, I was flying in with my girlfriend this morning, and, you know, I kind of said, you know, it feels good to be back in Northern California. I mean, I spent the last 4 years here, and to be back at a place where I was able to play as an amateur feels really good. So I'm excited for this week.
And a lot of Cal fans are excited as well, because this is a weekend where folks can come up and watch the tournament and yet still go to the football game on Friday night. Are you going to be able to make it?
I am not. Unfortunately, I did not plan that into my schedule. But, you know, to see them go start 4-0 is always exciting. You know, that didn't happen my 4 years there, so I'm rooting those guys on for sure.
It should be a great weekend for Cal fans. I know Joe Starkey's going to be up here every day. And the one thing that we've seen with you is that you're 9 for 9. 9 tournaments, 9 made cuts, in addition to winning over in Lake Tahoe. I mean, the consistency has been really good for you. I think your worst finish might have been like 35th or something like that in some of the regular tours. What's been the key?
You know, just kind of setting the mindset to go out and try and win. I think my first couple starts started off, let's see what we can do after we make a cut. And obviously that's a big thing, especially with this year's new cut moving from top 70 in ties to top 65 in ties. You know, that's just about a half shot that's going to count. But, you know, I've been practicing the past few weeks, and, you know, I feel fully rested for this week.
So the PGA Tour has changed its scheduling. They actually start the tour in the month of September. I think this is the third tour event, but it's the only one in Northern California. Your scoring average actually is slightly better than it was in college, I believe. I think you were 69.7 something, and now you're like 69.5. And you've had some terrific final rounds, including at the U.S. Open, where you tore it up there.
Yeah, I mean, out here, you've got to stay really patient and consistent. Guys are just taking it lower and lower every single week. So coming out here, you know, it's a whole new game. You know, you got to stick to what you've been doing, but you got to remember that you can't be giving away shots. That, you know, thankfully through college, I've learned not to do. And, you know, they still happen here and there, but you got to just remind yourself all the practice you've kind of done for this.
And your tournament over in Lake Tahoe was actually a point system. So most of the time it's stroke play. That was a point system where you birdied the final three holes, knowing that you had to go really low in those final three holes to win the thing. What was it like playing where you have to have birdies?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of switched the mindset just a little bit. And it was kind of weird because after every round, I didn't really know what I shot. And that's something I normally don't do. You know, I knew what points I got. And it was a really fun week. You know, that was my first full week where I had secured my PGA Tour card for this year. And the only way I was going to get in the playoffs was if I won. You know, I had 2 weeks left. I had that in the Wyndham Championship. And I just wanted to put everything out there. I was playing well. You know, I felt really good. And, you know, I just got a couple putts to drop at the end.
Did you have a "I've arrived" moment? When was it the first tournament, or just walking to the practice tee? Everybody has to have a moment at some point in time.
Yeah, I know. I think my first tee shot in Canada, the RBC Canadian Open. I just told myself, I felt ready. I remember when I missed the cut here in 2016, the fall of 2017, I believe. And you know, I learned so much from those 2 days than I could have ever, you know, in a college event, just say. And I was really thankful for the opportunity, but, you know, it kind of prepped me for getting ready for my first start. And I've been able to kind of use that throughout the summer and, you know, just keep using that for so on.
Well, you're not the only Cal guy out on the tour. And I want to talk about one guy in particular, Max Homa. He's kind of made a name for himself, not only winning the Wells Fargo earlier this year in May, but he's like Mr. Twitter. And I was reading some of his tweets. He's got a second career as either a broadcaster or as a stand-up comic, because some of his tweets are absolutely hilarious. How often have you had a chance to intermingle with him?
Yeah, I've been able to play quite a handful of practice rounds with him. And, you know, I haven't asked him about his Twitter stuff because I think everyone else does. But, no, he's awesome. And to be able to reach out to the Cal guys, and, you know, those guys are kind of one of the reasons why I came to Cal, you know, to see him, Max, Michael Kim, Brandon Hagee, you know, all those guys that are on tour and the season they had in that 2012 to 2013 season. You know, really motivated me, and to be able to play with them finally and compete against these guys, is really fun. And to just have them there as some friends, some alumni, you know, that they're always going to be out there to help.
And some guys to lean on, you know, what to expect, right?
Absolutely. And it, you know, no matter what experience they had, whether it was their fifth, sixth, seventh year or their first or second, they've gone through what being a professional is like. So I was able to kind of just pick their brains and figure out what I need to do out here.
And Max has gone through that a couple of times where he lost his card, had to work his way back, lost it, worked his way back. And then all of a sudden to win the Wells Fargo was awesome for him. How's the course set up for you as far as your game?
Yeah, I think it sets up really good. You know, it's kind of a ball striker's course. You really got to keep it in play. You got to position yourself off the tee. Obviously stay in the fairways, but you know, it's kind of a home court advantage almost. You know, my caddy grew up in Napa. He's played this course a million times. So I'm going to kind of lean on him to maybe read some putts, figure out some lines. But, you know, we've been working really good throughout the summer, and I can't wait to keep it going.
Also, when you walk into these things, you go to the range, and, I mean, see guys that you watched growing up, whether it's, you know, Tiger Woods this week, Phil Mickelson is here. Tony Romo is here as well. He's a terrific golfer in addition to being the top analyst for CBS. Steph Curry is going to be here as well. I think he's only going to play in the Pro-Am paired up with Phil, if I remember correctly. Is there any awe factor for you?
No, I think I've passed that point, okay. Which is really good. But, you know, to come out and see the guys that I have been watching on TV is really fun for me. And it's exciting because, you know, we all love golf just as much as the other guy. I mean, I've played in a couple amateur events with Tony Romo. It's kind of cool to see what kind of crowd he brings sometimes. But at the end of the day, you know, when Thursday comes, it's game time. And I got to, you know, prep. This is a full new season. Whatever happened last season was very, very good. You know, I'm very thankful for what happened. And I'm really excited for this new season because I finally get a full year. To put everything out there.
What was it like to be at the U.S. Open as a player?
It was something special, especially at Pebble Beach. You know, a lot of Cal fans, a lot of people saying go Bears. And I'm sorry I didn't respond back. I might have been making a couple too many bogeys. But yeah, to have it there and to finally, you know, play in my first major was something special, make a cut, you know, finish mid-30s. But yeah, no, it's something I'm going to draw upon. You know, this past summer, I'm going to be able to just use that experience for this full season. It's something I haven't done where I'm going to be traveling 4 or 5 weeks in a row and going to new places every single week. Thankfully these first couple weeks, I'm starting off in places that I'm very familiar with, here in Vegas. So, it's just going to ease it in into, the Asia swing.
That's right. The Asian swing this year as well. In addition to a stop in Houston. Vegas is now home. Did I read that correctly?
Yes. Yeah, Vegas is home.
And the reason for that, just to be easy to get in and out, the weather?
Yeah. A lot of good golf out there, a lot of good players. Obviously, it's still West Coast. I'm still close to whether it be San Francisco or L.A., you know, both places I call home. And but, yeah, no, I've met a lot of players. I knew a lot of players, and it's just fun.
As you mentioned earlier, you got a caddy now. So you got kind of a relationship with somebody that you lean on, you know, when you're playing – amateur or certainly at Cal, you're kind of on your own reading everything. Tell us about the relationship you have to have and the trust you have to have with a caddy.
Yeah, it's really hard to find one, especially coming right out of college. You know, a lot of the good caddies are taken. And I got really, really lucky with JJ. You know, JJ Jackvac, was caddying for Ryan Moore for the longest time. And, you know, you got to be able to work on and off the course. You got to be able to talk to them whenever you need. And just our kind of personalities match. You know, he kind of sees what I see. And it's just been really fun because I think, obviously, the results have proven that. But just having someone there, knowing everything, knowing the ropes out here, you know, is just so much more helpful for me to kind of navigate every single week.
You have to have the trust. I mean, he's going to read a putt like you're going to read a putt, or he's going to give you yardage and distance and this and that. So you have to have a trust.
Yeah. And the first time he caddied for me was the US Open sectionals. And I wasn't playing well the first 18. And, you know, when we made the turn to the next 18, I asked him, you know, can he read some putts? And, you know, we started making a lot of putts. And it was really cool because I trusted him. I knew what his strengths were. He knew what my strengths were. And it kind of worked out. You know, he was a really good green reader, and I think this week is going to be very helpful out here, especially since he knows the course.
Dealing with crowds, it changes the shape of shots. You know, when you're in the fairway, I mean, you have a kind of a different perspective on shots. What's it been like dealing with the crowd?
That's really cool. I think, you know, looking back at the 3M when me and Matt Wolf, a really good friend of mine, kind of battled it down towards the end, the crowds that were there were enormous. You know, they were loud, they were noisy, they were rooting everyone on. You know, whether you make a putt or you don't, you know, they wanted the best for you. And I think that's what's awesome, having fans, and especially when you're able to come to like kind of a hometown, a closer region, where you might find some extra fans. So, you know, hopefully there's some Cal fans out there that come and root us on.
The first guy I ran into today here at Silverado, the first guy I ran into, he goes, "Go Bears." And I went, "Yep, it's going to be a great weekend for Colin and the rest of the Cal guys as well." You majored in business administration. All right, now you're in the business world in addition to the sports world. How has that helped you out?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot that goes on. I can thank my professors out in Haas for kind of getting me, you know, one step closer to knowing what I'm doing with all the stuff out here. But yeah, you know, graduating from Haas was just a big goal of mine coming in. And I think when I first got there, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but that was in the back of my mind. And when I really set my mind to it, I put everything I could into getting that degree in that 4-year span, coming out, graduating, and it was well worth it. You know, I miss every moment of that. I cherish everything. And it's cool to see, you know, the new guys kind of take their next step. And I think they just started their season a couple days ago. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're back in Illinois. I think they finished 11th as a team. They'll have another good year as well. Well, I know you're busy. I know you got to get to the range. It's a beautiful day here. Anybody in the area, get out here at Silverado Resort and Spa. It's a fabulous course. It's close. And come up and root on the Cal Bears, especially Colin. We appreciate your time. Good luck. You are, and I said this before when we had you on, it's the third time we've had Colin. He's like the most non-coach appearances in the podcast in the history of this thing. So you are the perfect representative of Cal Athletics, and continued success. And we'll be cheering for you not only this week, but the rest of your career.
Thanks, Todd. Look forward to coming back again.
You will be back, that's for sure. So Colin Morikawa, going to have a great week here just outside of Napa. A reminder, the passion, the tradition, the rivalries, Pac-12 football is back on Sirius XM. We've got 24/7 talk and analysis on Sirius XM Pac-12 radio from hosts like Ryan Leaf, who did the game against Ole Miss last weekend, Guy Haberman, as well as live play-by-play. So cheer along in your car, online, or on the Sirius XM app, or try out all of this for free on your phone, online, and at home. Take your team with you at any time, anywhere. Get a free trial at SiriusXM.com/Pac-12XM. That wraps it up for this week. We appreciate you listening. Reminder, we'll be on the air for the Arizona State football game beginning at 6:30 Pacific time Friday night. That's Friday night as the Bears take on the Sun Devils. Thanks to Justin Wilcox, also Chase Garbers, and our pal Colin Morikawa for being with us this week. Next week, we'll preview the Oregon game, as the Bears hope to remain undefeated and nationally ranked. Once again, I'm Todd McKim. Thanks for joining me. And as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.